Welcome to the Rise Up and Radiate podcast. Today, I have Tiffany on the show, Tiffany Sullivan. We met actually watching each other's story on social media, and I knew that the Lord wanted her on to share her story, to share her experience, because I think it's so needed in our time today. So Tiffany, thank you for being here. We are so excited to have you on the Rise Up and Radiate podcast today.
I'm so excited for this.
Yes. All right. So guys, I want to give our dear friend Tiffany here an introduction. She is a wife, a mother, a health enthusiast, a newly published author. Come on, let's go celebrate that. Who wants to share the good news of the gospel with others. She knows that nothing compares to the love of Christ and wishes nothing more than for others to experience the greatest love to ever exist. How beautiful is that? Oh my goodness. Tiffany, welcome. Let's give her a hand clap. Whoop, whoop. We celebrate you. Welcome to the show. So let's get ready to dive in with our first question. And that is, can you share a time in your life when you felt like you were in a season of darkness? And what was that experience like for you?
Yeah. So I would say that really my entire childhood felt like a dark place. I didn't have a bad childhood. There's nothing that happened to me, but I just had this overwhelming sense of self-hate. I struggled with depression from a very early age, and I just never felt like I was good enough. And I just felt a dark cloud, really, is the best way I can describe it. And I ended up struggling very early on with self-harm and an eating disorder. And again, all of that just came down to how much I hated myself. And just, I wanted to be better, but I wanted it to just automatically be better. And I didn't know how that could happen. I struggled with perfectionism. So it was all kind of intertwined. It was just very twisted in a way. And then later on in life, I ended up struggling with my sexuality for a season as well. And I wouldn't say in that season, it felt dark to me. Mm-hmm. I felt very fulfilled in that relationship as far as what I wanted out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was giving me exactly what I wanted and needed in this life. But at the end of the day, I realized that it wasn't fulfilling me. It wasn't sustaining me the way that my heart really truly needed. And so I would say that was a dark season, even though maybe at the time I didn't realize that it was a dark season.
Yeah. I just hear from that. There's really no reason to have, like you said, in my childhood, there wasn't really anything crazy that happened. I was just kind of born into the world and just did not feel like I was good enough. I did not feel like I was worthy. So I moved in ways that really hindered who I was supposed to be. I often say, as an inner healer, a lot of times the wounds of our souls is how the enemy manipulates us to move into things that we shouldn't, right? Or we should avoid, but that's his plan. He came to kill, to steal, and destroy. And in inner healing and in deliverance, even, Tiffany, I found that you were probably dealing with issues in demonic warfare, spiritual warfare. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers that as a little girl, you didn't do anything to be walking in, right? But they were a part of your generational line, and they were tormenting you from a little girl. Yeah. And that is heartbreaking. So I want to hear, because someone I truly love so much also dealt with the same sex attraction, was involved in things that for years. And I think it's so important, listeners, that you hear this. She said, in the midst of it, it felt great. She was very fulfilled. And I think of that verse that says that sin is pleasurable for a season. So let me tell you this, the enemy is crafty. When you're in the depths of your stuff and you're sinning and you're doing things against the plan that God has, it's probably not always going to feel wrong. Now, there will be consequences, because the wages of sin is death, right? So death is going to be attached to that thing. It may not feel like death in the moment, but when you come around to it, it will. And so I just think that's so important that we hear that we can be living in sin, but feel okay about it. That's a red flag, because the enemy will play you so he can continue to steal and destroy and kill you. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. And I just wanted to come back to, you said about like the demonic oppression. And when I was struggling with both, but specifically early on as a young child with the self-harm, it was like I couldn't control myself. It was an addiction and it was like I was in autopilot. It just, the shame, the cycle of it felt good in the moment in a weird way, but it also hurt. And then also just, he twists everything. The enemy twists everything. I struggled with sleep paralysis, which that I swear is like very
100% demonic, right?
Yeah. And that went away for a season. But then when I entered back in or into a relationship with another woman, I started having sleep paralysis again. So,
okay. Y'all, I wasn't going to make this a deliverance conversation, but we're going there. Okay.
Yeah.
I just think we, especially in the church, there's been such an inappropriate use. Things have been misused that we now are like, oh yeah, the devil's real. But we wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's really not something, you know? And I feel like the church needs to be set free. You may be dealing with things that you can't control. That's how I was with eating at one point. Like I just would eat and I couldn't even stop because I had made an agreement. So I had given a legal right to the enemy to torment me through eating because I struggled as a kid as well. And so, but food became my comfort. And so I would eat to suffice that. Right. Yeah. And so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And so the sleep paralysis. So if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I am dealing with this thing that I just can't get victory over. It may not be you. You may need deliverance. Mm-hmm. You may need to sit down with someone and just ask the Holy Spirit, God, have I made any agreements? What could potentially be in my bloodline, right? There's different places. And you have to be really careful about where you go to get it really biblically based and done well. I could help with that. I do inner healing and deliverance in my coaching. But I just want to put that out there because, man, sometimes we're wrestling literal demons and they're not ours. And so releasing and cleansing our bloodline will break the yoke of those things that are connected to us so we can be set free. So, Tiffany, what would you say to the person that may be listening to this that also struggles with same-sex attraction or maybe is dealing with, you know, those tendencies or maybe is full-fledged living in that place? What would you want them to know?
First of all, God loves you so much. And I think we often make it so much about the sexuality the attraction. But it's deeper than that. I think it's interesting that I struggled first with the depression and the self-harm and the eating disorder because that was my identity for a very long season. And when it comes to sexuality, the world, we have just decided that that is identity. That is a core piece of your identity. And it's not. Like God created you in his perfect image, Imago Dei, and we just overcomplicate it with the things that we're attracted to or inclined to or just used to. I don't know a better way to say it, but it's more about that. And so I would say for somebody who's struggling with the same sex attraction, lean into what God says about you. And it's a tricky one because I think, like I said, we tie it so closely to who we are, but if you read the Bible and you get to know who God is and who God created you to be, that almost becomes a secondary issue. That's not the central piece of who you are. And so that's what I would say. And just in general, for anybody who's struggling and feels very stuck and very, this is how I'm always going to be, don't wait to get help. Two words, don't wait. Don't wait to read your Bible. Don't wait to pray, reach out to God first and foremost, but don't wait to get help from outside people who can offer encouragement, offer support. There's so many resources. Ivory is one of them, which is fantastic. but there are so many tools that we just don't use. And
Amen. And I would say this, a lot of times in the church, I've heard it, well, God can't look upon sin, so he's going to leave you in it. And that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
So listen, if you're struggling, God actually is attracted to you because he wants to save you from that. Like he came to the world to heal the sick, to save those that were lost, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just want you to hear, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't even know, maybe I don't, I've never read the Bible. I don't really know what God says. I don't know what he says about me. Mm-hmm. Can I just challenge you, grab a journal, sit down and say, God, I want to hear what you think about me. And then don't think, just write. And this is for everyone. This is for everyone, because the Lord wants to speak who you are. And it might shock you, but it's one of the most beautiful processes. And if you sit and you ask God to speak, he's a God that wants to speak. He is, Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And so let him show you that he's with you.
Amen. That's so good. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to be journaling later today.
Yes, do it. It's the most powerful thing. It's the most powerful thing. So I think my second question would be, that was your advice for the person that's in it, right? Mm-hmm. Get to know who God says you are. But then what would be something that you would have appreciated when you were living that out from the friends and family that are around you?
I think what would have meant the most to me is just for people to meet me where I'm at, not in support of it necessarily, yes, but just to welcome conversation. I think I did a lot of avoiding the people who I thought I would have uncomfortable conversations with,
yeah,
or who I knew didn't support it. So I take, you know, responsibility for that part of it. But I do think with those relationships that, you know, my parents, I think that we just avoided the conversation. It was so uncomfortable. And one thing that now, being in contact with parents who are struggling with this now, I'm realizing how important it is to maintain the relationship and open that line of communication. Because if you can't talk about it, then it's just going to stay where it's at. Mm-hmm. And God's the one who changes us. It's not a conversation that I can have with somebody else. It's God moving through us. So let God work, step aside, but also be present, be there for those people.
So good. Y'all, please take that. And if you aren't sure what that looks like, ask the Lord to make it clear. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So if you're stuck and you're struggling, you're like, Lord, how do I maintain a relationship while also not condoning what I feel like isn't right? God can beautifully guide you through the power of the Holy Spirit and help you navigate that line beautifully. And then when you mess up, apologize, say you're sorry, own it, but just be open. I think it's just be open that God can guide you through that thing.
And guess what? A lot of the parents who are walking through this with their kids, God is showing them something different. It's not about just the kid. It's about the whole family. So I've seen parents and their idol of their children fall down because they're walking with God and God is showing them where their error is and how they're parenting and how they think they need to love their child and how they think their child needs to be. So God is good in all of it.
Come on. And I think that's such a good takeaway. In these dark places, when we're navigating hard things, the Lord isn't just trying to get to the person that you feel like need to be gotten to. He has something for you in that thing too. So be open and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to learn? How can I change? What idols, what limiting beliefs, what things am I moving in that you're trying to pull out of me? So roots that aren't producing fruit.
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
Good.
Wow. So you're coming out of this. You have been a baby that's dealt with some really hard stuff, morphed into this relationship. So what was kind of the defining moment for you that began to move you toward the light? And what was that process like?
I have three specific situations that happened. But before that, I sought out some counseling. I'm a huge proponent on therapy. Mm-hmm, so I've been in therapy a lot in my life, and I will continue. But I was struggling with thinking that my issues all had to do with me and all had to do with I was wrong. Something about me was wrong and was not okay. And I felt a lot of shame in that. And I found a therapist who specializes, it's called Blanca, and it's a biofeedback spirit-based, Holy Spirit-based biofeedback therapy. And, you know, some people might think it's a little woo-woo, whatever, but it's not. It's really cool. And in those sessions, one thing, for example, that was really healing for me was I'd always been super uncomfortable with affection and love from my parents. The therapist helped me realize that my discomfort came from my mom's past, actually. So I didn't have bad upbringing, but something happened, or several things happened to my mom as a child. And when I was very young, she started like really tightening in on protecting me from everybody around. And she had, you know, was angry with my dad a lot. And so I just picked up on all of her things that were from the past and took it on. Knowing that was super healing, and also just realizing that my lack of ability to have that affection and say I love you comfortably wasn't my fault. There was nothing wrong with me. It was something that happened that I couldn't control. So that was one thing. Loved that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I didn't see some miraculous, like I was all better, because this was after or before I entered into a relationship with another woman. But I had a couple of different instances where I had somebody reach out, say they had a dream about me. He said, I see you in this corner crying. There's this dark cloud covering you and you just won't stop crying. And in my dream, I felt like I needed to pray for you. And I kept praying for you and kept praying for you. And all of a sudden the light shone behind you. The rain stopped raining, you know, and the tears dried up. He's like, I have no idea if this means anything to you. But in that moment, when I read that, because this is over a text communication, I realized, okay, there is light at the end of this. I don't have to always have that dark cloud that I felt like was going to cover my life. Again, I didn't experience some miraculous healing in that moment. It was a series of different events where one time I was worshiping the Lord and I felt complete peace, complete joy. I'd never experienced that in my life. But because my eyes were on him, I was like free. Freedom is the best way I can describe it. And then the third thing, I still was struggling with I thought that I was always going to be tempted to self-harm and be tempted with my eating disorder. Whether I could control the behaviors or not, I thought that I'm always going to struggle with this. And I was okay with that because I know that this side of heaven, struggles come. And so I just thought this was my thorn to bear, if you will. And anyways, I was just experiencing the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit filled moment, I say, where long story short, I was in this wooded area and God led me to a tree stump that had clearly been dead. It was rotten looking. It was not anything magical or beautiful to see, but out of it was this really pretty green moss growing out of it. And I felt like God was saying, there is life and death, which is so biblical. And now, like in hindsight, I'm realizing just how like the word is alive and active. And that was literally scripture coming to life in front of my very eyes. And that in that moment was when I knew that God was going to do some healing work as far as the things that I thought I would always struggle with. And then ironically, I entered into a relationship with another woman. And after that, or in that relationship, God again used a tree stump covered in moss to remind me whose I was and to chase me down like the shepherd and the one sheep that's lost. He chased me down and was like, come back home, daughter. And that's the long or the short version of it.
Wow. Wow. I'm taking a few things from what you just shared. Number one, it's a process. It's a process. Number two, God is just, I feel like having this theme through this conversation, shame, man, it's a beast and it will eat you alive. And however, the shame that you were feeling wasn't actually yours. It was based on what your mother had experienced. And I think that's so important to note because once again, it was her demons, what she had experienced in her life that led her to parent you in a way that caused you to deal with things that weren't even yours. And guys, that's why biblical counseling, modalities like Splanka therapy, inner healing, and deliverance are so important. and even going to like a certified trauma professional that's biblically based, because at the end of the day, there are many times that we can't counsel demons, but we can ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight and awareness to where these things are rooted, what they may be connected to, so you can be delivered and free. Jesus didn't come so you could continue to suffer. He came to give you new life. He literally came to make what was dead alive, to bring beauty from ashes. Like, he is a God that is singing and rejoicing and dancing over you. And that type of a God is not going to leave you. He doesn't want to leave you in the gutter to continue to suffer and to continue to just be, ugh. He wants to show up. And I hope you hear that in Tiffany's story, the moss, people giving her dreams, people giving her revelation. And just, she was in the midst of it experiencing God. So open your eyes. If you're walking through the dark, ask the God of the universe to show you where he is. He wants to reveal himself.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So looking back, you're going through this process. God is healing you. It's a slow but gradual process. You're coming to the light. What was the specific moment, like when things really started to shift for you? Like, what led you to break up with the girlfriend? What really, like, kind of give me that part of the story, because I don't know if we've gotten there yet. Like, we know it came, but I'm curious, like, kind of what was the delineating point, and when you're like, God, I'm turning, I'm coming back. Tell me about that.
Thank you. So I entered into this relationship, and the entire time I was in that relationship, I was trying to reconcile my relationship with God with her, because I have to preface that I was saved as a 5-year-old kid, something like that. I knew what the Bible said, or I knew what people said the Bible said about homosexuality, but I was surrounded by these great relationships that were same sex, and they were amazing. And I had always wanted that from a young child. My dream was to get married and have kids and have a family. And I wasn't getting that at all. Mm-hmm. And I dated a lot. I wasn't getting that. And when I met her, she, like I said earlier, like, she fulfilled all of that that I thought that I needed and I thought that I wanted. And so, I still wanted to have God and have her. And I tried to do that. And at some point I just realized I couldn't have both, the way that I wanted to. And so I chose her, but I still wrestled with the question. I just avoided it.
Yep.
And we ended up moving pretty much across the street from a church. And we decided to go to church a couple times at this place, because in my heart of hearts, I wanted to be accepted by the Christians. I wanted them to validate my relationship. I didn't want to necessarily come out with it, but I just wanted, you know, somebody to say, like, hey, you're welcome here. You're okay to be in this relationship. So we went a couple of times, and then we had re-signed our lease. This is 3 years into our relationship. So we re-signed our lease for a whole nother year, and we decided to go visit this church one more time. And it felt different. It felt familiar. The worship, like, I wanted to be there, instead of, I wasn't really trying to hide necessarily. And as the pastor introduces the message, there on the backdrop is this giant tree stump covered in moss. So that's what I was talking about, that tree stump covered in moss. That was the, like, okay, Lord is speaking to me here. And the pastor's message was the story of Samson and Delilah. And so there was a lot of things that resonated with me. And I say this, but it was hard to keep up, because there were so many good little nuggets that he was saying that were relevant to my situation. And then at the end of the sermon is, I've never met this man, but he prefaced his prayer saying, there is a young woman in here who is trying to shortcut God's plan for your life, and God wants you to know you don't need to shortcut any longer. Immediate tears. I knew that God had me there for a reason, and he needed me to hear that. And this is, I get emotional just thinking about it, because, like the shepherd with the one sheep, he chased me down. He chased me down. And I had already decided that he didn't want me anymore, that I didn't deserve his love anymore, but he chased me down. It's so good. And so We ended up breaking up, but because we had re-signed that lease, it was a very complicated year of living together. And that was something that I had to deal with for a long time, as I was the one who made the decision to break up, but I let it stay complicated and I still walked in sin, but God was still faithful in that. And it's just like, I don't know, just reliving all of that is just really cool, you know. To the God of the universe, the God of the universe wants to chase you down. He wants to do the same for you.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think that gives context. And I hope that for listeners, if you're struggling, just hear our heart. We're not judging you. We're so compassionate for you. We're so just desperate for you to have an encounter with Jesus that makes me cry that Tiffany had, because His love for you can't be contained. It is unlimited. And I just, even for you listener who may not be struggling with homosexuality, but you're struggling with that thing or that issue or that thing just keeps coming up and you can't seem to get the victory, His love, His kindness wants to bring you to repentance, not judgment, not critique. That's the accuser, y'all. We have to start recognizing who we're allowing to have resonancy in our heads, okay? But man, after you share that, I just feel like I need to share, like, His love is grander. His love is more spectacular. His love is greater than anything, and it's for you. For you.
Amen. Amen. Nothing. And that was the moment when that happened, I realized that nothing on this side of heaven compares. And I have the cutest toddler ever, but God's love does not compare.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. So beautiful. So looking back, what are some things that you have learned about yourself that has made you walk in who God's called you to be, or helped you walk more in freedom or authentically as who you are, not attached to what was going on with mama or the cutting or the depression or this relationship? Because the enemy wants to use those things to define you, right? But God's like, mm-mm. So who is the authentic Tiffany, and how are you moving into that? And what has your life and these experiences taught you that have made you more of who God created you to be?
So identity in Christ, Imago Dei, made in God's image, and understanding who God is first and foremost to help me understand who He created me to be.
Come on.
Without that part of it, I used to read the Bible, and I think a lot of us do this. I used to read the Bible looking for me in the scripture and looking for, where do I fit in this? But the Bible's about God, and
come on.
And I'm so glad it is, because He is perfect and He's sovereign and He's so good. And so when we start to understand who He is, we can understand better who we were made to be and who we were called to be. And so just learning that specifically has helped me to walk in peace, even though I still have struggles.
Absolutely.
My life is not perfect. Walk in peace and just be in complete joy, even in those moments where I'm like, what is happening, Lord? And as far as like more authentically me, like it's just walking in that Imago Dei, the image of God, and just remembering again who He is. It all comes back to Him.
Come on. Come on. So what was it like coming back to the Lord after those years that you walked away?
The word that comes to my mind is refreshing. And there's that scripture, He leads me by still waters. Again, my life was not perfect coming back to the Lord. I wasn't walking in full obedience. And there was some, there was that season where I still was struggling with the world and with God. But then when I finally stepped fully away from that relationship, I realized just how peaceful life is with Him, and refreshing.
Come on.
And how much freedom you feel in it. Just to walk with Him. And yeah.
So you've kind of explained it, but would you say anything different to what has it been like since you've been restored? Because I think that's a different question, right? Mm-hmm. When I think of restoration, I think of things that were broken down and then God building them back up. So what has it been like since the enemy was coming at you since you were a baby girl, but coming into restoration, what has that been like?
I would just say powerful. I think that, like I said, life still is not easy all the time. There are still things that happen. There's still things that I do. There's still things that I'm, that the Lord is working on in me. But I don't feel shattered when that happens anymore. I don't. And just even things recently, I'm like, you know what? If that bad thing happens, it's okay because I know whose I am, and I know where I'm headed, and I know where my hope lies. My hope does not lie in anything here. My hope lies in Him and in eternity with Him.
Hallelujah. Amen. I often like to say, I think we as the body of Jesus Christ, we literally are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So if I'm hearing anything, your restoration process maybe was founded and grounded. The foundation was on things that were faulty. So then therefore you were faulty.
Yes.
But when Jesus becomes your foundation, when the power of the Holy Spirit now is what's renewing your mind and helping you to walk as God intended, that restoration process is going to be more stable and it's going to be fixed because it's grounded on something that never changes.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Yeah.
So what are some qualities or strengths that emerge from you as you've gone through this life, and how have they shaped you to embrace who you are today?
I think one word that comes to mind is grace. Grace for myself, grace for others. And that still has been a process. I'm married. For all you married folks out there, it is a refining thing to be married.
It is. It is.
And the Lord is still definitely working on my grace in marriage. I think, yeah, my confidence, just my confidence has been restored and rebuilt. Again, that hope, my hope is in Him.
And there is nothing like when you can move in the confidence of the great and almighty I am God. Nothing like it. What can come? Yeah. Right? No angels, no principalities, nor death, nor life. Nothing can separate us from His love, as Romans 8 says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how has what you've walked through in the darkness and moving to the light impacted your life's purpose?
I mean, my life's purpose is to honor and glorify God. And
come on.
Going through hard things allow you to see who God is. And it's not that I welcome trials. I don't think any of us do. But every single thing that I have walked through that has pointed me towards God, and everything has pointed me towards God, I'm grateful for it. I truly am grateful for it. And there have been some hard things that weren't my choice, or things that happened to me that I could sit and just be a victim in it. But even that stuff that I didn't cause, that I had nothing to do with, really, like, that has, I'm grateful for it, because I run to Him now instead of running to what I think I need. I run to Him.
Man, that makes me think of a question for our listeners today. What are you running to that is a counterfeit that will ultimately still leave you needing more? Because if it's not Jesus, and it's a process of even learning how to let Jesus be enough, right? Like, you had to make a choice that I'm not going to allow whatever dark things come to steal the truth that I know about Jesus. That's a choice, guys. That's not just because she's, you know, a special little one that God's anointed. No, that can be your anointing too, but it's a choice. We have to choose that, you know what, Lord, regardless of what happens, I'm going to believe You're good. Regardless of what comes against me, God, I can trust that You will work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to Your purpose. I have to believe, Lord Jesus, that You will guide me through high waters, and I won't be overwhelmed, that you will strengthen me when I'm weak, that you're weak, that in my weakness, your power is put on display. Mm-hmm. Those have to be choices. But when you found yourself and you secure yourself to those things, insecurity and fear and a lack of safety and the tendencies to go to the things that used to fill you are going to die. Because yeah. they aren't actually giving you life anyways. And mm-hmm. I'm calling you up because I want you to be called out of the things that are counterfeiting your life mm-hmm. and causing you to miss what Jesus has for you through the yeah. power of his spirit and being in partnership with him.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, girl, it's good. All right. So this has been so rich. I am just so grateful for your willingness to come on and share and be so vulnerable and be so raw and real. I think it's going to help so many people who may be navigating the same thing or different things just to hear this conversation and be like, okay, man, all right, I have some tools that I can take away. So do you have any parting words for our listeners today to empower them to rise up and radiate as we get ready to close our conversation today?
I think what you were saying about you have a choice. So we have a choice, but God's not going to leave the hard work up to us. He will empower us to walk in that choice to follow him. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in us and through us to make us more like Christ. And I know that you might have some listeners who aren't believers. And so even just exploring who God is, welcoming the God of the universe to speak to you and to show you a new life. One of my favorite scripture right now is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Those who are in Christ, behold, the old is past, the new is gone. I'm not saying it, or mm-hmm. the old is past and the new has come. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it's perfect, but the new has come. In Christ, a new life is standing there for you, is waiting there for you, and he will walk you through that.
Come on.
He will bring it out of you.
All you have to do is show up. Just show up.
Yes. Yeah.
I like to say this, since you brought up the Holy Spirit being our helper. Mm-hmm. Jesus was human, guys, and I think we miss this. And what empowered him to do miracles, cast out demons, and raise the dead was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that same Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, lives in you. And he, before he left, said, you will do these things and even greater things. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you, the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus and allowed him to do all the things that he did lives in you. Mm-hmm. So let him be your teacher. Let him be your guide. Talk to him. Get to know him. He has good things in store for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, Tiffany, how can people follow you or connect with you or learn more about your testimony or any resources that you have? Would you share that with us?
Yes. I'm on Instagram. It's Tiffany Sullivan Co. And I have a TikTok now too. So it's on TikTok also.
That's awesome.
And then I created a YouTube just because I am uploading my testimony. So it's the same on YouTube as well. And then website is TiffanySullivan.co. So everything Tiffany.
And then
Sullivan.
Where can they find your book that you wrote, my friend?
Yes. My book, it's called Coming Out Restored: Struggles with Self and Sexuality Made New. It's available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com, Walmart.com. Amazon's those the easiest. I spend way too much money. Amazon. The Amazon delivery drivers know me well.
Same girl, same. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for Amazon. Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, guys, listen, I want to encourage you, if this touched you, if this inspired you, if you have someone in your life that could relate to Tiffany's story, or maybe that someone is you, guys, go buy her book. Get it. It'll be such a resource that will help you navigate this thing and understand what's going on in yourself that could be impacting your sexuality. Come on. Tiffany, thank you so much for being here. We're going to kind of shift to our fun little light question before we go. So the question is, if you had to choose between rain or snow, which would you choose and why?
Okay, I love this question because I'm from Colorado. So I'm from the snow and I live in Florida now. I ran to Florida where it rains a lot and I love the rain, but I would choose Colorado. So I'm going to say snow, even though I prefer the actual rain. I'm like
Okay.
associating it with the states.
Okay, so tell me why it's
Yeah.
snow in Colorado.
No, I mean, just because it, the mountains, you can sit in your cozy outfit, have your hot coffee or hot tea, and just enjoy looking at the snow. I like playing in the snow too, don't get me wrong, but I like looking at it. So I love the
I
sound of
love
the rain
it.
though. So I do,
Yes.
I like both, but.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, that's great. I love it. I don't know. I think I would probably choose rain only because I love
Okay,
the
yeah.
sound it makes
I'm,
on the
yeah.
when I'm sleeping. I'm just like,
Yeah.
oh, the Lord is here. Rain, come.
Have you ever been under a tin roof with rain?
Oh my word, no.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love that. It's very
I
loud, but
bet.
it's
I
beautiful.
bet. Man, I would be sleeping like a baby. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for
Thank
taking
you.
this time to share with our audience. I know that they are going to be blessed. And I just want to encourage you, listeners, God is not done. He loves you. He sent you his Holy Spirit. He is good and he is for you. And his love is chasing after you. So thank you, Tiffany, for being here. And listeners,
Thank you.
thank you for listening. Go out there, radiate and shine bright. God has good things in store. Until next time, God bless you. Friends, if something stirred in you as you listened, if you sensed, oh, that's me, I want to invite you to take the next step because those deep soul wounds, no matter where they came from, Jesus came to deliver you from them. So let's talk. Let's uncover what's been holding you back. Click the link in the show notes to schedule your free soul care discovery call and let's begin your healing journey. It's time. Your soul was made to be whole. Let's rise and let's radiate.